Good evening. Welcome to the City Council Workshop, January the 7th, 2015, at 6 p.m. First line of business is roll call. I guess we'll start on your side, Mr. Moyer.
Neil Moyer, here.
Rick Moses, here.
Richard Adams, present.
Mike Weaver, present.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item 2.0, workshop 2.1, discussion of fiscal year 2014 to 2015 capital improvement needs for infrastructure, streets, water, city, sewer, facilities, public works, police station, city hall. I called this workshop committee to meet up together with council members and basically just to touch base and get a couple ideas thrown out on the plate for things in the future that we need to look forward to in 2015. We know what we did in 2014. Basically, we got quite a few fire hydrants repaired. We had quite a few water lines repaired in a positive manner, which is a great thing. However, the city still, speaking on water, while we had that discussion, the water basically still has a lot of room for improvement, a lot of room. But that, I think, will be a night that when we can get down and get more meat and potatoes to it. I think it's not a 15-minute discussion, to say the least. So, it's something we want to look at down the road. Before we get started into too much of it, what I'd like to do is go ahead and go with Mr. Ingram and Chief Harrison discussing some issues with them so they can go ahead and head on home. They've been on the clock all day, so we can get them out of here. I'd like to start off just real quick with Mr. Ingram. My idea is for you to present to the council tonight just a brief synopsis of things that your department, what you per se, a Christmas list per se, I guess you want to put it that way, things that you'd like to see happen for your department in the 2015. And this gives us a better idea when we come to budget time and start looking at it, because I will tell you right now, we are going to have another workshop and we're going to start discussing the budget early. I'm going to be real heavy this year on that. I've got plans for the city to try to help the citizens a lot more, and my idea is that we need to be on top of this and aggressive to it. So with that being said, Eric, what I'd like you to do is just give us an idea of what you think that your department needs as a whole, not only regards to staff, we're talking building, vehicles, just a short synopsis, if you would.
Well, one thing that really stands out that is kind of an eyesore is our recycle trailer. If we're going to continue being responsible for recycling, we definitely are going to need a new recycle trailer. It's been rebuilt, tie wrap, duct tape, all last year, several times.
Well, let me ask, when you talk about your recycle trailer, you're talking about a tandem trailer, correct?
Yes.
That's a tandem trailer.
Yeah. And it's got three separate pins in it, first to separate and whatnot. It's getting in pretty rough shape.
Okay.
The bin's in good shape?
Well, the end tailgate keeps falling off, or the end piece of it. So we just have to put it back on, screw it together, get some baling wire, whatever it takes.
So basically, you need to replace the old trailer.
Yeah, pretty rough. Okay. I was told it was in an accident, I think, with Jonathan Martin before.
Okay.
And the frame might even be a little bent up or something.
Well, those trailers, while we're talking about it, let's just real quick. My estimate on that type of trailer is about $2,800. Is that about right, David, or have you ever priced one?
Yeah, we have.
What'd you come up with?
If you go to HJC and buy a recycling trailer, they run about $15,000 to $18,000 with the bins and the way they empty out.
Oh, I see, with the special bins and things, not just a basic tandem which is rigged up.
Okay. Yeah, if you go to, you can use a tandem, basically a landscape trailer that has expanded steel.
Right.
If you do single stream where it's not sorted out.
Okay.
And my understanding is that LaPorte's gone to single stream over there. Do they require us to sort the material out of the bins?
Yes.
Oh, they do still.
Yes. So we're still sorting it.
Yeah.
That creates an issue.
Yeah, I seem to recall a couple of more years ago, there was an abortive attempt. I think it just didn't get followed through to get a grant.
Well, we applied 3 years consecutively for a grant. And we were denied all 3 years.
Okay. And do we know why we were denied?
Yes. We were denied out of partly out of a point system and against the other projects that were put in. The kinds of things that were approved, there were no trailers that were approved in those 3 years. The kinds of things that were approved were solar-powered recycling containers for inner-city parks.
Any chance that we could take another shot at that?
Oh, sure, we can.
This is with HGAC, as I recollect.
That's correct.
All I guess I'd say
we
should look into that again, because assuming that these HGAC, the recycling trailers they have, are configured and structured to handle the sort of business,
right.
Assuming that that's what the whole intent is, even though they are costly, if we could get that, or at least start a grant application process there.
They have to try all they can do is say forward. No.
Yeah, and maybe based on 3 years of experience, we might scratch our heads a little harder and see how maybe the point system can be beaten, or if nothing else, get some advice from them of what they're looking at, because I suspect that that also has a bearing on the matter, is that, you know, you could probably put 10 good things in, and they might all on the face qualify, but if they're looking for certain things, you know, you're not going to get past that.
Well, this might be also one of the things that we can... look at possibly asking for a donation from somebody. So I'm not bashful to ask people with big money, and we're already doing that with a few, so let's look at that. That's something we definitely want to look at. What's number two, Eric? Throw it out there.
I'm seeing trucks or heavy equipment. Everything's in good condition. I don't see our staff expanding so that we would need more equipment or anything in the next year or so. But a big issue, and this may be a separate issue, but our yard. I'd love to get that. If y'all notice, it's a mud hole.
The mud hole? Yes. I think that's something David and I had definitely talked to. As a matter of fact, it's on here about talking about getting it possibly paved or something of that nature. So I noticed that there's quite a bit of mud hole out there, so that may be something to definitely look at. Is that, when we talk about that, David, is there any... is that strictly out of our funds there? That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, you remember we had some funds in one of the previous budgets that we actually cut, like $50,000.
And that was, I remember we
That was to pave that. Yeah. But as Eric said, it is really becoming an eyesore.
Oh, it is.
You're tracking mud out there.
The highway every day.
Out there on the road. And I do know that, especially on asphalt roads, the more mud and stuff that gets collected on there, that mud sucks the oil out of the asphalt and causes it to break down. We really don't want to see that happening, so that was one of the things that I was going to bring up, is we probably need to do something with that, if whether, you know, looking at, I think what we had budgeted for before was for concrete, but I don't, you know, we're going to have to look at
we'll let David get some options there.
Crushed concrete.
Yeah, actually, concrete. We had started with concrete, and then we brought it back to just do limestone. It was $30,000 to do the drainage. And then we cut the $30,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
And then we had thought we'd get millings to spread out there, and the timing was such that when we had that we ran out of the fiscal year to do the drainage.
All right, well, this is what we're going with. Just as you throw these out, we're going to pull them down. This is something that the next workshop we have, we can actually, hopefully we'll have a full council, then we can sit down and put it together. So, all right, so we've got the yard and the base of the drive. What else you got, Eric?
That's pretty much all I'm thinking about at this time.
Okay, let me ask you this when we're throwing this out there, and talk about a lawnmower. Now, I know that y'all have that little John Deere out there. Is that John Deere equipped to handle some of the bigger areas that y'all have to mow, or is it y'all need a bigger commercial-type lawnmower?
No, it's fine, because for the past few months we've had some walk-behind brush cutters that we used to mop the heavier growth down first, but they've been in the shop.
Okay.
We had just got them back last week.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
I just want to make sure.
Off of Baywood, and that's probably our biggest area up front by lift station one. So, yeah.
As you can handle it, I'm just putting it on the table.
Yeah, we got those back.
Okay. All right. Okay, and that's about all you pretty much in your department?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, council have any questions to ask, Mr. Ingram? We appreciate you staying over, sir. You're dismissed. Thank you so much. Try to have a good evening.
All
right. Appreciate it.
Good evening, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Chief Harrison.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Wonderful. Thank
Pleasure
you.
Pleasure seeing you. Thank Appreciate you. All your hard work.
Yes, sir.
Chief, basically you heard the spiel already, so can you tell us what your department needs, what you'd like?
I need the world.
I figured you did.
I need the world.
I knew it wouldn't be that simple.
Pull here so I can see y'all if you don't mind.
Please.
I'll let the world down.
Well, you told me we was going to talk about code enforcement, so I wasn't totally prepared for this question.
Well, code enforcement is coming. I just would like to know off the top of your head just how. I figured I'd throw it off the seat of your pants, what you would...
Wait a minute. You're going to use an awful lot of his anatomy up now in that pair of...
Well, he did start with the world.
Well, except now he's working on...
So we're going from his head directly. To his ass, so...
So we get to his feet. Just, I mean, guys, I'm going to tell you, we're not in bad shape. We're in so much better shape than I feel like we were a year ago. But, you know, there's always knees. And, you know, the building, we have a new building over there. There's not a lot wrong with it. There's some small things. The AC and the heat has been a problem since day one, and it depends on who you ask as to what's wrong with it. I think it may be fixed now. It's cool right now, and it seems to be working, but that is something I have to keep an eye on next summer because it was really difficult this year to keep it cool. We had guys bringing fans in just to stay cool, but I hope that's fixed. Due to some settling issues, the doors aren't shutting. I've had Public Works, they busted their butts trying to fix it, putting bigger screws in, but the bathroom door already doesn't shut. The front interior door and the rear door doesn't shut. That presents some obvious problems because officers run out of the station on calls or something, and the door doesn't lock behind them, and we've gone to the station and had a citizen standing in there. And I think I've done all I can to just get Public Works to go over there and put bigger screws in it, so we may have to have somebody look at that. We're beginning to get mold on the north side on the concrete and sidewalk, and I realize that's just an eyesore. Nobody sees it but us, but as nice as that building is, that's something. I'll even get a pressure washer to go up there and clean it, but it is something that is annoying on the new door. And I thought I could buy a combination lock for the back door. The officers want that, and it's a reasonable request on their part just for ease of getting in and out of the building. What I didn't know is it was going to be about $1,400 to do that. I thought $200 or $300 would do it, but because it's got a crash bar, it's been an issue. Obviously, I haven't done it because of the cost, but it is.
Well, on that point,
it's not a standard door. It's a police door, so it's basically reinforced for the evidence lockers and things.
Well, I understand, but I'm guessing that unless that door is completely impervious to even a carbon tungsten carbide tip drill, there ought to be a way to install a deadbolt on that. And those combo, I've got a pair of them myself, and I'm not sure that what I have specifically is appropriate to this task, but $1,400, it sounds like you might want to replace the whole friggin' door and start all over.
Is that a locksmith that came out and did
it? I asked Rich to come out, and then I called the guy that you recommended that does your work, and they were within $75 of one another.
It's the panic bar.
And the
inexpensive, even the commercial, let alone the residential, gear won't turn the release on the panic bar. So you can put a separate lock on and lock the panic bar out, but then it would have a different lock on the inside.
Well, I think, you know, again, looking at going from one cost end to maybe another cost end, it may, you know, if the door is being, nobody's inside, and I don't know that that's the situation that you're describing, then the panic bar issue would seem to be capable of being addressed. You know, if somebody trying to get in from outside without having to fumble for a key, and I'm inferring that's the issue.
Right.
Then maybe there's a way to work around the panic bar and the combo lock having to either integrate or not integrate, as the case may be, if the panic bar can be dealt with in that situation. But you know, that's just me talking about my own experience with combo locks.
We'll discuss that further on down the road.
It's simply a wish list.
Yeah, I got you. And like I said, I didn't mean to throw this out. I really want to just get a feel of some of the few things that you wanted out there, and then the code enforcement I'll bring up here shortly. But I know that you have a vehicle that you're entitled to this year on this go around, correct? We've got one.
We'll have one. We should be able to order shortly. I'm open.
Okay.
However, even with that being said, I think it was $35,000 we budgeted for that.
I thought we budgeted $55,000.
No, it was 35.
35. Yeah, we went from 28, I think, to 35.
We cut it down, and then we went back up a little bit. We had trimmed some off because we were hoping we'd get some better profit. I think it was right at 35.
And the car itself is going to be 31. The camera to put in that car is 5,000. Mm-hmm. We're required to have. We're not required to have it, but you're almost required.
So this is the Tahoe?
The new Tahoe, yes, sir. I did buy a radio for it out of last year's budget at the last minute, so that, you know, that's a $3,000 expense we won't have, roughly $3,000. By the time you equip that thing, and I planned on slick topping it to save a little bit of money, that means not putting a light bar on top,
right,
just putting light bars on the sides, front and back. We're still going to be minus at a deficit in outfitting the thing by the time you buy the screen and
it'll be a deficit of about $9,000.
Well, maybe the better thing is let's start from square zero on this thing so that we all get brought up to date and not sort of try to inch our way from where we thought we were. But let's take a look at, okay, what is it the chief and the staff want, how the vehicle should be configured, and let's take a look at the whole package, not just incrementally going from where we budgeted, because...
Well, no, that's my whole point. I mean, this workshop is just to get just the job.
But I'm just saying...
But yes, you're right. I mean,
I think we've got to pay attention to this, because this is what some people might call mission creep or budget creep, and, you know, we some of us thought we may have addressed that. But
what about the Sand Jack vehicles?
I'd rather not comment on that. That's okay. Sure. It last time I did that, it's created a problem for me, so I think I better hold off on that until I actually get confirmation.
Okay. I missed that conversation. I apologize.
That's quite all right. So, but the bottom line, too, when it comes down to your vehicle, basically, we're going to be short on that, which that's a discussion when we can actually get together. But we have a, you know, with all the council, I would like all the council.
Sure.
Discuss those issues. So
I'm just bringing these up. I don't
know
anybody
right.
Be surprised when it when it happens. And we, you know, the other vehicles that we have. I mean, thankfully we did receive one. One's in the shop right now with the motor out of it. You know, luckily that's going to be under warranty.
That's my next question.
Well, my heart dropped when the lady called me last week and told me that they'd taken the motor out of it, because I wouldn't have done that had it not been under warranty, because
right.
We've got to get rid of one of those Dodges. I mean, proud to get rid of both of them when the time comes. But those cars do not have cameras in them that are working right now. But let me tell you what happens on that. Because of the racial profiling statutes, we have to be able to report our racial profiling statutes once a year. It makes it easier for us if we have cameras in the cars. I didn't bring these over here on purpose, but I redesigned the citations we write a few months ago. This was what an old citation looked like. And I've changed it to this, and we capture more information for racial profiling on this one, which helps us. But still, the cameras keep us out of legal trouble for the most part, and that racial profiling.
All right, Chief.
Didn't the state just offer up some cities monies for
the body cams?
Body cams.
We will never see a dime of that. That will go to Houston and Dallas. And
go to the big boys, not the little boys.
Well.
Yeah.
We have
but
two
we have some
involvers that we're trying out. We're like in a trying out stage right now. I've been real cautious to really make a big deal about it, because I've got some concerns. I think body cameras are great. I want everybody to have one here. My problem comes in is they're new enough now that there hasn't been enough trying them out. And what's going to happen right now, and Mr. Stahl can answer this better than I can, but I believe that any citizen could call up here and ask for the last 30 days worth of recordings off any officer's camera, and we'd have to give it to them, and they can sit there for the next 3 weeks and look for anything we said or did wrong. And that's the problem with body cameras right now, as I see it.
Yeah, there's other issues. There's privacy issues that need to be solved in this legislative session, because if they come to your house to take a theft of a bicycle report, and they're wearing a body cam, and you invite them in, and the officer's taking the report... If that is available on an open records request, someone can see everything inside your house. They can see what you've got.
Everything.
So it's a privacy concern, not just for the officers, but for everyone.
Well, I can understand that. I can see that.
I mean, you know, in medical terms, it's the HIPAA law. I mean, you break about everything you can. I mean, and that's a scary thought. But, I mean, someone wants to really pay attention to what's going on in your residence or anywhere around, they're going to see everything. So it's definitely got its pros and cons. There's definitely a difference when there's a camera in the vehicle versus the body cam. So it's got a lot of room for improvement. Just like anything else, it's going to take a little bit of time to improve. But, well, you've got – how many do you have of those now? Are you using them right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's not – nobody's required to use them. I've just encouraged it. And I've wore one some when I'm covering shifts. And they've actually come in pretty handy. Officer Hossie almost got hit by an 18-wheeler out on the freeway. And that, I hate to say it's comical, there's nothing funny about it, but he squealed and hollered as he jumped out of the way. And it just goes to show, if he would have been hit, it would have gone a long way in showing what happened. You know, where he was standing, what happened. And there's a lot of positives that's going to come out of them. I'm just, you know, you got to err on the side of caution, too.
Sure.
But we're not reinventing the application of that equipment, because we have some, I think the Los Angeles Police Department has been largely equipped with the body cams for some time. I've got to believe that there are other police departments who have got them in use. So I'm not sure that the protocols have to be reinvented just because of the state of Texas. Now, I can be convinced otherwise because this is the state of Texas.
Well,
but I'm just saying.
They have the same privacy issues that anyone would.
Right.
And so I'm thinking
there are departments who've had to at least address these or at least face them. They may not have dealt with them completely.
Yes, sir.
But we're not the force that's going to resolve those questions.
I don't really want to get sidetracked or spend too much time on that.
Well, Chief can follow up on that, too. Where you go on that?
That's fine.
What else you got there, Chief?
Well, you know, and I'm never going to get this, but I'm going to throw it out there. I wish we had a marquee fire building. We have so many people knocking on our door looking for City Hall and for the court and, you know, just looking for us when they're looking for us. We have no signage that says Police Department. Something we don't have to have, but it sure be a nice luxury to have.
Fair enough.
We've only got one car equipped with radar right now, with the moving radar, which is what we use on 146. You can use LIDAR, but it's difficult to use LIDAR on 146. LIDAR is perfect for South Broadway and Shore Acres. We've been writing some citations over the weekend on Shore Acres for speeding. People have got some complaints on that.
So you need you only have one working right
now? We've only got one. I'd like to outfit the new Tahoe with it. Unfortunately, I don't have a price for you. I didn't call on that.
That's fine.
But it is something that I think is a good asset. The last thing that, and it's something that, you know, I inherited an issue. David Newman inherited an issue. Our computers are just, they're just old. I don't know how old they are, Mr. Stahl. They're pretty old, though, and you know, computers are old 2 weeks after you buy them, and these are at least 4 years old, I think, probably older than that. And I finally found an RMS system, which is a records management system, which early on, when David Newman was questioned about his duties here during a council meeting, that's one of the things the council was surprised at, was that we did not have a records management system for all we do. I found one that I think we can afford. It will track people. It will track calls for service. It will enable us to have our own report writing mechanism that we can go back and query. The most important part of that, and I do believe officer safety is paramount, but I don't come in here talking about officer safety and tying it to everything. But for records management system, we come in contact with some bad people out there. The records management system, you can track these people. If they made threats against police officers, we get these they're called SARs, suspicious activity reports, from the Regional Intelligence Center. But I have nothing to do except print the poster out and stick it on the bulletin board. With an RMS system, I'm able to put that information into a database. When the officer stops a person, they can pull up and see if there's anything that they should know about that person. Plus, it tracks every time we've handled them. So when we get complaints on kids doing donuts on Miramar, we can tell if they've already been stopped for that once. Because, you know, if they've been stopped for it once and got a citation and that didn't keep them from doing it, the next time they probably need to be incarcerated for it. So a records management system is something we've got to have. We're one of the only agencies around that doesn't have one. We're the only agency in the general area, and I wouldn't dare come to you and ask for the money to join.
Is this a software
thing?
Have you priced them?
Yes, sir. Well, the one that I'm hoping about is going to be about $2,600.
Okay.
LaPorte uses OSSI. Mr. Stone, you remember what that would cost?
Mm-hmm.
It was
the worst part of that was the monthly.
Right.
Yeah, it was like $435 a month.
So, you know, I'm not even asking for that. I'm not trying to join somebody else. This would be our own independent. And most importantly, too, we get a lot of calls for reports, people wanting a copy of a report. This has a media function so that you can go in and print exactly what those people have access to. You don't have access to the whole report.
Right.
You have access to certain information within that report. So it solves a lot of, from a time standpoint, it solves a lot of problems there. And I think I've got the money to purchase that this year. In fact, I've got a quote on it that I'm going to talk to Mr. Stahl about pretty quick because I think it's time. We have to have a records management system.
Okay. All right, how are things going with warrants?
One of the things I have here is a warrant officer. I don't think we was going to talk about personnel too much, but right now we have $1.2 million in warrants hanging out there. Now, that started the hornet's nest back a year or so ago. All of that's not collectible. I'll be real honest with you. A lot of that is not collectible. It'll never be collected. A lot of people that we pick up on warrants, they just want to sit in jail and set it out, so we don't make any money off them. But as we get into to code enforcement, and I have lacked in code enforcement since I've been named chief, it's just not, I've had priorities with other things. I know we need to get into it. I've handled the ones that come to us. But I would really like to look at a position, maybe for a warrant officer, a warrant position along with code enforcement at some point.
Is the court aware of how much outstanding warrants there are?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's two halves of this.
We had a big discussion about
the police department doesn't do the warrants except for serving them, and I have on my list, the judge is about to dismiss over 500 warrants that we currently have, so that will all just go away. And that's because we don't have positive ID. They got no date of birth, no driver's license number. And so they're basically John Doe warrants.
So
we're not going to put anybody in jail just because their name is Neil Moyer if we don't have every.
If Neil Moyer is deserving of jail time, then that warrant needs to be executed.
But if we get the wrong Neil Moyer, it'll cost us a whole lot.
If you get the wrong Neil Moyer, he probably deserves it too.
I don't want to get too far off where we're going on this, but we have a full workshop because I'm going to schedule a full workshop and maybe I can get everybody to attend. There are some ideas on also the warrants that Mr. Moyer brought up just now. As far as collection, there's not a lot we can do. We already know that. Honestly, there's really not when it comes to warrants. You can only do so much. That's just like when you write a ticket. An officer writes a ticket. He can write a ticket that it costs somebody $3,000. But when he gets in front of that judge, he can knock that ticket down to $10. Now, I'm not saying our judge does that. I'm just saying it can happen. I'm not going to point any fingers, but I have seen the fact that, you know, we've wrote big tickets before they go down. That can be an issue, no doubt. So that cuts down that ticket. But there again, we're not in this business to collect money out of this. Huh. However, to do the ticket collections, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Moore.
I'm a little troubled with that because, you know, at one time you had people whining about us, the city of Shore Acres, doing
speed traps.
Yes, okay, sir. To the best of my knowledge, that, first of all, I don't believe.
Never happened.
It never happened, and it's gone away. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, if people are getting citations,
mm-hmm.
we are bringing them into the court.
Yes, sir.
The court and the judge are delivering judgments.
Yes, sir.
That are expected to be fulfilled. I don't think it says much it can reflect very poorly on not only the police department, because basically unexecuted warrants basically look like the police department has gone overboard, or at least one might interpret that that way. On the other hand, the court is just waving its arms. And so, you know, we either got to have a come to Jesus meeting with the judge and the administrator.
Unfortunately, you can't do that by state law.
Well, but maybe there needs to be a report back to the judge of what the outstanding warrant load is, because if he doesn't get feedback, then his performance is uninfluenced by that nature, and maybe he has some ideas. He's not exactly inexperienced.
Right. Well, I will tell you, and it sort of falls in line with what you're saying, that there is another option here that Mr. Stahl and I have discussed last year that I think needs to be brought up, and this isn't the time really to bring it up, so I'm going to wait, but it is option of doing our warrants out of a different area, out of a different city, out of actually LaPorte, just touch base with it, then we could go through their court system, which would take a very large load off of us, and we still collect some revenue. And then it goes through a circle of judges. It's not the same judge every time. So you have a variety of judges seeing those. Now, I will say, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but most people now, probably about 75% of them, actually, if they get a ticket, get a warrant, will ride their time out in jail. It's unbelievable that you wouldn't think that astronomical number. Am I close to about correct?
I get calls at least weekly of people wanting to think to come set it out. And
which is unbelievable.
We don't let them do that, by the way. I mean, why let them have their convenience? It's ridiculous.
To answer Mr. Moyer's question, I think that might be a way to help us, because what you're saying, I'm totally in agreement with. That's the problem where, we know that we're not, as a city entity, here to collect money, but we also know that we have a lot of it out there.
Well,
it should be followed and been taken care of. So,
the whole system kind of spawned this whole deal whenever the state of Texas allowed, we're used to, a speeding ticket cost you $50. Now we've jumped it up to it's $250.
Right.
And people rather go sit down there. They're going to, they take a weekend and pay that ticket.
$250 insurance bill.
Right. And so we created this monster.
Yes, sir.
And, we're just going to have to live with it. The other thing that you also have to realize, if you get a conviction here in this court and you get assessed a fine and you appeal it, it's not appealed here. It goes to county.
Then maybe we need to see the data on that. I mean,
there's a lot more things.
If people are just walking out, including citizens of Shore Acres.
One of the reasons.
I mean, I don't have any notion of whether we're dealing with people who are transients to the city, whether we're dealing with city residents, whatever. It's just that the system, we have an issue here. Now, how we resolve it.
But it's not just a Shore Acres issue.
I understand, but it just doesn't feel right that a community this small could have 1.2 million of outstanding warrants.
Correct.
I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a boatload of money.
Look at how many.
Now, we're not going to get it all. I understand that. I'm not trying to level the budget or anything else with it, but I'm just trying to see that justice is done.
If the tickets were issued to Shore Acres residents, it'd be one thing, but you're pulling people over off of 146 that may live in Dallas. You don't have any control over going.
So we don't get off point too far, Chief. Let me ask you this just to sum it up. Out of the speeding tickets that y'all write, what's the percentage that would be Shore Acres folks? If you had a guess, just give me.
We don't write many Shore Acres folks, I'll be honest with you. There's no reason for that. It just doesn't happen. A few. A lot come from LaPorte on both sides of us.
Yes, sir.
I bet you 20% of everything we write is from Baytown.
And it's nice not the time for all the discussion.
Right.
I bring all the numbers. But,
yeah, we'll get the numbers.
But those numbers are really misleading.
Right.
And, we can go one extreme to the other. We can wipe them all off of the books in a timely fashion, and we'll never collect any of it. And if we leave it on there, then we have a very small chance that we might collect some of it. But, like I said, there's about 500 warrants that are just going to go away entirely. We can't even put them in the system. When you run a DL, it would say that they have a warrant, so they can't renew. Because we don't have the information on them.
Well, David's got some packets there that are here that I would like the council to basically, instead of trying to go over each one of them, because one, we're missing two council members, I'd like you to be able to we'll hand them out to the council members that are here. Take these, and we'll get this to the other two council members. I'd like to reschedule another workshop. I'll probably do it the first of next month and not in this month. We've got some things going on that need to be taken care of. But I would like the council members that are here and the ones that listen or we call in to really go through this, because there's some things here that, you know, need to get done, but there are some priorities. I would like you very much, so we don't get this all lengthied out, is look at the water tower situation very heavily. I'm going to be pushing for that quite a bit for this year. The water.
What are you pushing for?
The water tower.
Okay, then you need to take a note of why we need a water tower.
It's in the packet.
Whether there's a requirement, because if there, and who enforces it? Because obviously we're not fulfilling our obligations with that water tower now. And my thought is, it's like the warrants. If you can get by without the water tower and the cost that goes in, if our system is resilient enough to handle it, let's not try to force that water tower into an orifice that it's not going to fit. Let's be reasonable. I mean, we know that's an expensive proposition. And you know, as I said at the budget sessions last year, we need to explain not how we're spending the money, but what we're getting for the expenditure, so that people can look at the dollars and cents and also be told what they can expect in terms of either services or capital improvements or whatever. I made a big deal about the water lines. I'm still going to make a big deal about the water lines, because that affects people daily. That water tower doesn't affect
people. You should never spend more than what's coming in, for one. And I do not bring up anything. I do not take this position lightly, nor will I bring anything up that I don't think that is necessary. But I understand you, but if you would just give it a moment to take this home and look, some of your questions may be answered here. But when I bring something up, I'm not bringing it up for my health. I'm bringing it up for facts. And I have nothing and I carry nothing but facts. And the facts are, there's issues going on with our water tower. Once you read this, and I suggest that the council members drive up to the water tower and personally inspect it. And you're going to find out that there's some issues going on that should have been addressed a few years back, and no one did. So this fell in this mayor's hands to try to recover a city that was having issues already, which I think we've done very well with the council we've had. And we're moving forward. So if you don't feel like it's something we need, then that's fine. We vote against it or we don't discuss it. I just, you know, these are bullet points to say, bottom line is we have to start somewhere. I don't think there's ever been a real starting point. You know, it's always been, well, this, we got to fix that. Let's put the council together and say, what do y'all say? Let's get three top priorities. Water lines, fine. We put the water lines in there. Whether it be streets, a shelter for the police cars, you know, something that is important that's going to save the citizens money down the road. Some people might think a shelter for police cars and for unit trucks, for public works. Actually, it does. Rain, debris, ice, things wear on vehicles out in the sun all the time. It ruins light bars. These are all kinds of things. What are some of the things? What I would like to do, I'm asking the council, is take this, find what you think is important. If there's not anything on here you think that's there, that's that important, write it in, and on the next workshop, come back and say, Rick, you know, I think one, and then we start that topic. I truly believe the water lines, no doubt. We definitely have issues there. We've had issues there. We've got some, no doubt, there. As Mike said, the warrants, the issues, which we'll get the data and information, Mr. Stahl will get that for us. I'm just trying to start somewhere.
In order to continue that discussion, I think that you need to call each of us before you schedule a meeting and say what date and time works for you. Because we want to have the greatest participation in these meetings by not only the council members, but by citizens, too. So let's have a little consultation before you set a date. Ask the council members, can you make this date and this time? And let's get that polling done before we set the date, please.
Well, I figured an email out a week ahead would sort of give you enough time.
No, I don't think so. I think people need to be able to plan for these extraordinary meetings. I mean, I think it's responsible enough for people to know that second and fourth Mondays are council meetings. But if we're going to schedule these extraordinary meetings, I think every council member needs to be polled with your first suggestion of what is an appropriate date, and make sure you get verification of who's going to attend and who isn't. I was sorely disappointed last Monday night when the council met. I will tell you, if we have council meetings, special council meetings, this is not a council meeting, and we barely make quorum, I can assure you, if I'm one of the people there, you're not going to have a quorum. I want the greatest possible participation at these meetings known in advance by the members of the council.
Well, we appreciate that information. Thank you, Mr. Moore. And we will do the best we can to accommodate you. My job is to accommodate you and the citizens the best we can. But this wasn't coming into a hash meeting, so I'm not going to go there any further tonight. Is there any further questions from the council?
Could I not get into a discussion with each item? Could I just run down the items and explain what they are?
Please.
Some of them may not be self-evident.
Please.
Okay. On this list, we have record storage. We used to lease a record control atmosphere records place. It got up to about $600 a month, and we pull all our stuff out of it. Some is in a shed over at Public Works, and the rest is stacked up all over the place upstairs. When we redid the Public Works building, there was a phase two design in which we took the center bay and we put a two-car garage door in instead of a high bay. And the plan is to put a metal mezzanine deck like we have the air conditioning unit on back here that will go over that center bay and have a 9-foot ceiling. We'll still be able to pull pickup trucks and all the vehicles in and have all the shop space. And then there would be a half flight of stairs and landing that comes out of the Public Works break room that would provide access. It'd be fully enclosed, climate controlled to 80 degrees for record storage. And so that's what that first item is on there. Public Works Yard and apron paving, we've talked about that. And when we say paving, that could be crushed limestone that's rolled in there or from that to concrete, whatever. Public Works warehouse replacement. We have a building that's behind the Public Works building you see on the street that has a tin building.
Is that the lean-to out back?
No, it's just a regular pole building.
Pole building.
We replaced the roof on it just prior to Ike, so 2007 we replaced the roof on it. It sustained a lot of damage in Ike. It's about to fall down. We're going to have to demolish it within the next year and a half to 2 years. It's got to come down. It's just a mud pit underneath it. It never has recovered there. It's very difficult for us to store anything in there. What I had proposed a few years ago is that we come in and put a raised slab. It would be at the same level as the interior of the current Public Works building. That also was laid out so that that room that has the washer and dryer, the bathroom, that back landing would have a door that would go into the warehouse. We'd be able to put a loading dock behind the building next to where the T-Mobile site's at, and that would be a 30 by 50 building with a 20-foot ceiling, and that would give us a place to store equipment and supplies that would be out of the floodplain. Right now, we don't have any place to store any of our equipment, things like the walk-behind mowers or the riding mowers or any equipment that gets them out of the floodplain. Obviously, we're not doing all these things next year. I'm just telling you what's on the list.
Please.
And you'll notice behind that and the record storage both have a little notation. Those are things that are on our FEMA Hazard Mitigation Action Plan, which are items that have FEMA credit, but also make them eligible for us to get Stafford 404 grants in the event that there's another disaster. It doesn't have to affect us, even the disaster in the state. Those funds become available. And so those are projects that will be making grant applications whenever possible. Storm drainage project. We have a storm drainage project that goes from Oakdale to Seagrove. You may not be aware, but our highest incidence of flooding of homes is on Byway between Seagrove and Meadowlawn. We have about 14 homes that repetitively flood in a rain event. We're not talking tropical storms. We're just talking about heavy rains. We have homes that flood, and the reason they flood is that the drainage stops on Seagrove and doesn't get to this inlet on the other side of Oakdale. From Taylor Bio to Oakdale is Harris County Flood Control. From Oakdale to
Stryker's Boulevard is Harris County Drainage Control, and it stops at Stryker's Boulevard. And the reason Harris County is involved in that is to drain Stryker's Boulevard, which is a county road. Between Stryker's Boulevard and Seagrove, there is no drainage. There's natural drainage across there, and you see that ditch that goes across. This last year, I purchased a lot on Seagrove that the water runs diagonally across. We negotiated that in a tax foreclosure with the school district. We paid the county, I think, $315 for that lot. And so we have ownership of that lot to do the drainage project. We need a drainage easement for this other piece, and then we need to make that improvement. We could not do, it was eligible to do the project with post-Ike money, CDBG money, except for you cannot acquire land or easements with CDBG money. So because we didn't already own that lot, it made it ineligible for us to improve that drainage. So we'll save over a dozen houses from flooding in the future if we can finish that project and just open that ditch up between Seagrove and Stryker's Boulevard. Streets, street construction replacement, I put in here a street inventory list, ranking on that. We can talk about streets in great detail when that time comes. Pullover's pole shed, roof replacement, there is the shed that when you look at Public Works, you're looking into it.
Right.
Okay. We need to replace the roof on that building. It's really, really rough. The building itself is a welded pipe pole building. Structurally, it's probably one of the best buildings we got over there.
Yeah.
We just need to put a roof on it. Police station standby power. We have standby power for water plant 1, for lift station 1, and for City Hall. We do not have standby power for the police station. It was designed to have a cantilevered platform off the back of the parking deck for a natural gas package unit like we have out here. This is a small unit that would provide standby power for the police station. Those are no longer eligible for Stafford grants. They killed all the generators.
How big a generator are we talking about?
We're talking about, it'd be like a 15 kW unit, not a very big one.
15 kW will run everything, on the lights and AC and a heater and everything over there?
Well, we take the strip heaters out. Strip heaters are killers on the generator.
You're going to run AC on the
15 kW? I run a 65 to do mine in my trailer, so I just wonder.
Well, it also depends on the AC unit you have.
Right.
It wouldn't carry the old one when we put the new high-efficiency unit in here. This generator, that small generator back there, carries all the AC in this building.
Wow.
We can run everything in here but the strip heaters.
What size is that?
I think it's a 7.5. City Hall ceiling replacement upstairs, we put it in the budget and then cut it from spending it, I think, 3 times. We need to replace the lights and the ceiling there at some point. Circle Park playground equipment, it's pretty self-evident. Police shelter, that's carports. We have tens of thousands of dollars of electronics equipment in the police cars, and then we have overheads, which are ridiculously expensive now, $1,400 and up for a set of overheads. this actually is on the hazard mitigation action plan because of hail damage. The city of Hitchcock, I believe, lost 11 police cars for total of hail damage. And so being able to park the police cars under a cover reduces damage.
Did you use the lower parking and put a carport there? Or are you kind of thinking that you're going to put carports around the building where they currently park the cars?
Don't have any particular plan. Probably to cover the ones that are parked in the rear, which is
the rear
on-duty car. And we have 2 cars that park on the side. The parking on the side is public and employee vehicle parking, so it wouldn't likely be there. But would
just the way the driveway is not a flat surface over there anywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty flat on the back of the building though. So
you're talking about overhanging off the back of the building where it says.
It would be completely freestanding.
Okay,
is the way I would envision it. It doesn't provide any structural problems for the.
We didn't have any pre-drawings on that anyway, did we?
Not on that.
Okay, so it'd be from scratch.
Yeah, that could all be determined. I'm just telling you what the concept is,
yeah.
Not the execution. City sidewalk cover. When we remodeled City Hall and we did the new roof and we did the shutters and we replaced the stairs on the front, one of the parts of the, and this down here, one of the parts of the project was a cantilevered, no posts, a cantilevered roof
they went from the over the back door, turned, and went down the side of the building to the front, and into the front. There's a nautical style metal roof on it with the lights like you'd have on a wharf. It was very decorative, and I think it was about $15,000, and it would provide rain shelter so you could go in and out of city council, and you could stand outside when it's raining and have cover, and it would also be an architectural improvement to the appearance of the building, and we do have plans for that. Miramar Park erosion, everybody knows what that is. Utility fund, elevated storage. There's material in here. There's a draft of a PowerPoint presentation on the water tower. Force main. I would say it's probably greater than 90% that we are going to have to relocate about a mile or upwards to a mile of large steel force main that we have on Choate Road from Bay Area Boulevard all the way to the railroad tracks. And so we'll have to think about that. That's not our choice. That's a road project that Harris County is doing, and we're in their right of way. And just like anybody goes in our right of way, if we're in the way, we have to move. If there's any positive on that, LaPorte has a force main the same size running parallel to us. And I would look to piggyback on whatever LaPorte did with the same contractor and the same contract and take advantage of cost savings there. But it's a budget hickey. Distribution system on failing pipe replacement. This is something we've been doing virtually every year. Most of them have been going from 2-inch steel to 3-inch poly. A lot of them in rear easements are a priority because they flood backyards. But we've done a block or two every year for the last 4 or 5 years. Water distribution upgrades, replace undersized pipes. Skip the fire hydrant expansion, but we have a set of standards for our system that we're working towards, and when funds are available, we are upsizing the pipes. Really, the driver is up ahead of that, though, where it says fire hydrant expansion. Fire hydrants need to be on at least a 6-inch loop or an 8-inch line, and so where we've been adding fire hydrants, we've been putting in lines that will support that. What we have on the books in terms of ongoing projects, and we've talked about this the last couple of years, is to go down Oakdale from Sunrise to Southbrook and then down Southbrook all the way through to Baywood and then Baywood to Miramar and loop that system. There are other expansions beyond that. When we did the streets, there were more than a half a dozen crossings where we buried 8-inch water pipe, plugged at both ends under the street, so that when we came back with our expansion plans, that pipe would already be there. We wouldn't have to pay for boring, which also means that we can do a lot of it in-house. And it's a whole lot less expensive if you can schedule to use your own manpower and equipment and just buy materials. And that's, I just wanted to run down that list so you understood what those things were.
Thank you, David. Council, you all have any questions over that handout? If you get a chance to go through it, we'll make sure we give ample notice to everybody and try to maybe get this done next month where we can get a full quorum in here and go over everything.
Maybe get an RSVP for everybody.
Yeah, we'll make sure. We're going to get it out to everybody, make sure. As a matter of fact, I'll get with David. We'll post it out here at workshop on the marquee. We can put that we're going to have a workshop maybe a few days ahead of time for the public to drive by. They can see it and put the time. Although more likely public input will not be on it, because when you start getting that part, we can't really get anything done. That's where the issue comes in. I hope that they'll contact the council members and voice their opinions so we can address it that way. But we'll have to wait and see if it comes. That being said, we'll dismiss at 6:54, and I want to thank the council for showing. Thank you so much. I know you all have other things going on.